Religion on the Line, 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality. Whether it's the basics of faith or the hot-button issues of the day, talk about it now, 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio 710 on your AM radio dial. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
John Perk, President of St. Michael the Archangel High School, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And I want to remind everybody that if they're really interested in seeing Noah, you can do what my granddaughters did, and that is go get the VeggieTales version. They tell me about it all the time.
For those who don't know, that's a child version cartoon, right?
Yeah, grandparents know all about this. Yeah, don't you know about that, Michael?
I do, but I thought some of our listeners might not. They might think the Protocols of the Elders of Zion is the only thing that really counts.
Yeah, and I guess I don't want to invite Rich to kind of do a redux of this if he's insulted by what I'm about to say. If you think it's tripe, why would you call and ask for an assessment? If you think it's disgusting, wouldn't you say, hey, I've run into this disgusting thing. Does this have any traction in the world? Why does this keep coming up, et cetera? That would be, to me, a question that would kind of show forth some kind of, sympathy to you, Michael, as a rabbi, as well as to the Jewish people. It seemed like there was... Was there some fishing? I don't know. I don't know what was going on there.
I'm going to make a lot of assumptions, but given especially his interest in Rich's affiliation, that we're talking about a religious triumphalist.
Yeah. There may be. You
and
know,
a literalist,
the right,
for sure.
Are you in the right club? And probably, who knows how many of us would be in the right club? Maybe none of us. So we'll see.
Well, let's not make assumptions.
5-7.
Yeah,
well, not him, but among other folks who call. We'll see.
But we have three emails.
We've got callers galore, okay. Etc. One of the things that happens is these cues get up. People listen to the first hour, and then boom, it kind of explodes. Thank you for your calls. We're going to get to you in just a minute. What are the emails, John?
Well, Nancy says she just wanted to let us know that the station's a musical dramaturgy. Last night at Nativity was very inspiring. They had a packed house. We were very glad since the Viz Theater Group worked so hard. She says the upcoming productions are at Good Shepherd Wednesday, Missouri United Methodist Church in Columbia, Friday, St. Anne Excelsior Springs, on April 6th, St. Peter's, April 11th, and Visitation, April 13th.
And what's the group?
It's called Theater at Viz.
And they were going to the Leewood Church, the Church of the Nativity, is that right? Is that where it was? Are they on the road a little bit,
Nativity,
maybe?
Nativity of Mary in Independence. And,
okay.
And earlier they performed at the Episcopal Church in Parkville. So they perform
around
ecumenically in every community.
Okay. All right. We're going to go with Mike. Go ahead real quick, okay? You've called many times. It looks like we've got a couple of other folks maybe who've called too, but just we want to get to have some lines open for first-time callers, maybe.
I'll try to make it as quick as possible. You commented on trumping scripture, and last week you did it. Now, first of all, you're free, of course, and welcome to trump scripture as much as you want. But last week you made a claim that everybody trumps or has to trump.
What I think by that, Mike, is that nobody lives out the Levitical code.
Well,
not that I know of.
Yeah, I don't have to trump that because the Levitical code wasn't given to me.
Well, see, Christians also have the Old Testament as part of their holy scriptures.
Yes,
but we choose...
But you interpret by the context, who's speaking, who are they speaking to, and what's the context, immediate context, and the general context.
Well, I love that. I think we are all... I'd agree with that for sure.
And there's verses in the New Testament saying it doesn't apply to people like me.
Now, and there's some things in the New Testament that don't apply to us now, like women's leadership. You know, we interpret this in its context, and we do this. It's mostly how we approach Scripture. We're not a literalist. I'm not a literalist.
Let me address the two examples you gave. One is a disobedient child. I'll just stoning a disobedient child. I'll just simply say that wasn't given to me because it's more complicated to discuss what it's about, although it's breaking the Ten Commandments of honoring your father and your mother.
Well, someday maybe I'll tell you how the Jewish tradition played with that, but not today.
But the one about slavery, I hear this over and over again. Now, in Leviticus you have, he who kidnaps a man, whether he sells him or is found in possession, shall surely be put to death. In 1 Timothy 1:8-10, we have a similar thing about kidnapping. So the slavery as we know it in the United States was punishable by death. So let's make that clear. That's not what they're talking about.
Okay, right there, Mike, I would beg to differ with you. I don't know the text you're reading from, but if you're saying kidnapped, I can hear a pro-slavery, pre-Civil War Southern Christian saying, I didn't kidnap them, I bought them. So, you know.
Well, he says, or is found in his possession.
Okay, well, there we go.
Okay. That's in the verse.
Yeah, and so again, we interpret Scripture contextually very differently. Can we just agree that we do that?
Well, I will agree, but I was going to try to be quick, but you're making it a little hard to be quick.
Okay, all right.
Now,
all right, we'll be quick.
Also,
now.
Becoming slave, there's several ways for a person who was a thief. Instead of having a prison system, they had them work to pay back what they stole. I think even five times over. People could sell themselves into slavery if they had a debt, and the person would pay it for them.
It's indentured servitude is what we call it in English, right? Mm-hmm. Mike, could I ask you a question?
Yes.
Do you think there's anything to what's sometimes called the curse of Ham?
No.
Okay. You know, many traditional interpreters of the Hebrew Bible saw that as the seed point for the justification of slavery. That was an interpretation, but it was an interpretation that was, in many places, unquestioned and unquestionable. And others came along and said, wait a second, we study these texts. Some of us attach a different notion of how that we study them. So my studying, for example, allows me the opportunity to say no. I am of the impression that there are other people for whom that is as close to blasphemy as you can get.
Okay, well,
but that's a clarity, don't get beyond that.
I was giving anybody, Reverend Hill, the okay, Trump as much as you want. Just don't say that it's necessary for me to Trump.
Oh, I don't think Reverend Hill has ever said that you have to.
Last week.
What I said is I think that we do. I don't know if you have to. I guess we can get into parsing all that language. I just think we choose to follow certain points of the Holy Bible, and you just said your criteria is New Testament dominant, and I would probably agree with that, and I would say mine is gospel dominant. And we pick and choose if we're really honest about how we read Scripture.
Well, now I don't pick and choose.
Okay,
that's what you're saying.
Okay, and I'm assuming that about all of us. And if that insults you, I apologize.
No, it doesn't insult you. I think it's wrong, and I want other people.
Okay,
to know
Mike,
that
you've made your point, and I think if I were Reverend Hill, which I'm not, I would respond in some way. You've picked and choose to decide that you don't think you pick and choose.
Well, that's tricky.
But that's a choice.
But he doesn't agree with that. So thank you, Mike, for call. Thanks for the call.
Well, thanks for talking to me.
All right. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
KCRO, Kansas City's home of Michael Savage.
They've confused sexual liberation with far more important liberations, and that's a great, great scam in order to imprison an entire generation, which is to turn them all into sexually promiscuous beings and then tell them do whatever they want and let them think they're free and then to hobble them with socialism.
The Savage Nation. Weekdays 2 till 5 on KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City, providing superior service and attention to detail for over 20 years. KansasCityDoor.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $23 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-916-5635. That's 1-800-916-5635. 1-800-916-5635. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Your Kansas City Chiefs invite you to come lace them up and join us Saturday, May 10th at Arrowhead Stadium. It's the second annual Chiefs 5K. The run starts in the stadium parking lots. Then you'll run through the Chiefs tunnel and onto the field and finish on the 50-yard line inside Arrowhead Stadium. After the run, there'll be a post-race celebration inside the stadium with the Chiefs cheerleaders and Casey Wolf. All participants will receive a Chiefs 5K t-shirt, a finisher's medal, and a behind-the-scenes tour of Arrowhead, including a tour of the Chiefs locker room where your favorite players suit up on game day. To register for the Chiefs 5K, visit Chiefs5K.com. Gather all of your running buddies or just bring the family for a day of fun. Saturday, May 10th, it's your chance to finish on the 50 at Arrowhead. The second annual Chiefs 5K. Visit Chiefs5K.com to register today.
Do you have unwanted items in your home or office, or just want to get rid of things you no longer need? Cerna Brothers can help. Cerna Brothers can clean out an entire estate or simply remove unwanted items from your home or office. Cerna Brothers recycles and donates when possible to reduce the amount it takes to the landfill. Cerna Brothers can help with all your junk and debris needs. Call 913-484-9564 or visit CernaBros.com. That's CernaBros.com, your local junk and debris removal service.
It started with helping folks out with transportation around the holidays with Cars for Christmas. It's expanded to all year round with Cars for Heroes, honoring our men and women who've served in the military. If you have a car to donate or know of a vet in need of reliable transportation, go to cars4heroes.org and click on the Kansas City button. Let's help those who have given so much. cars4heroes.org and click on the Kansas City button. It's Cars for Heroes.
Are you one of the 100 million Americans living with pain? Joint pain, muscle aches, back pain? Would you like an all-natural pain reliever that works in just 1 hour? Well, it's finally here. It's called 1 Hour Pain Relief. It's made from hops, the same plant used to flavor beer. It goes to work fast without dangerous side effects. I'm Barry Yarkoni, company president. I had lingering pain from a nasty fall, but was scared of the side effects of drugs. Now I get relief in just 1 hour that lasts for the whole day. We're so sure you'll love 1 hour pain relief too that we'll send you a 1 week trial for just a small shipping charge. Call 800-500-1062 right now or visit onehourpainrelief.com. There's no gimmicks, no obligation, no automatic shipments. Stop living with pain. Call 800-300-1062 or visit onehourpainrelief.com. That's 800-300-1062. Or onehourpainrelief.com.
He's been where you are and where you want to be. Get it straight. Get Dave Ramsey weekdays 9 to 11 on KCMO Talk Radio 710. Now at 103.7 FM.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio 710 on your AM radio dial. This is the time. This is the place. Do give us a call. 576-7710. 576-7710. 7710. If you're calling long distance, the prefix is 816. Give us a call. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
John Perk, President, St. Michael the Archangel High School, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
Just want to throw out a couple more topics for people to kind of respond to or wonder about. Yesterday, Michael John had a very interesting
Michael John, I like that
experience that we went a portion of the pastor's class that meets during this Lenten season, as many churches, Protestant and or Catholic, I would imagine they're more Protestant, that would have things that are called pastor's classes, meet all across the country and around the world during the Lenten season. And part of our experience and learning is to go to a place of service to see how the church and others live out their faith and live out their commitments and their ideals. So we went to Restart. It was a wonderful time for me. I must tell you that yesterday was the anniversary of my baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And so with this class of kids that is going to be baptized on Easter Sunday, it was really sweet. But I will tell you, Restart continues to be a commendable organization in this community, and more people need to know about it. A lot of institutions know about it. Churches, synagogues, mosques, as well as hospital groups do volunteer work there, and they are one of the premier agencies, I think, anywhere that deals with the issue, the challenge of homelessness. And I love their motto, Home for Good. That says what they are as a place, but also what their mission is, to provide home, a home for good for one after another, after another, after another person. So, and also I can't imagine a kitchen doing 450 meals a day, 365 days a year. Amazing. Anyway, I just want to throw that out. Can you remember the day of your baptism? Was it special?
I don't.
Was it?
Unfortunately, I don't remember the day of my ritual circumcision either.
Thank God. Mine wasn't even ritualistic. It didn't even have the imprint of the holiness on it. So just give us a call. Those points of transition, cycles of life, moments, we're going to have one at community today. We're going to have a baby dedication and blessing. How do those take place in your community of faith? 576-7710. Call with your favorite one. What's your favorite cycle of life ritual in your tradition? 576-7710.
Waking up in the morning.
We're going to go to Richard Tripp. Richard, you've got religion on the line.
Good morning, gentlemen. I didn't know if you knew this, Bob, but I was one of the original staff members of Restart years ago.
I remember that. Richard, are you on a speakerphone or something?
Yes.
If you could just talk not on a speakerphone, I think we could hear, our listeners could hear you better, too.
Oh, okay, hold on.
All right. Hello.
By the way, in the meantime, while we're waiting for Richard to get back on, you know, one of the big moments of this past week that we haven't talked about is the Pope and President Obama's meeting.
Absolutely. A wonderful topic. Mm-hmm. What do people think about that? Mm-hmm. And I'd love to have John's perspective on that as well. Go ahead, Richard.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay, that's better.
Okay. You know, we're getting ready for like the 30-something year of the spring break for the homeless, April 19th.
Mm-hmm.
It will be held at 1330 East Linwood, which is the Scottish Rite Temple. And we need material to hand out on that day. We need summer-type clothing for men, women, children, materials to make kits with, toothpaste, toothbrush, all that type of stuff. And especially on that day, we need cook, potluck, dinner-type items. We set up a circus tent. We'll have probably a couple thousand people come through that day.
Mm-hmm.
I need people's help, mainly.
Okay.
What's the date again? The 19th, we need volunteers to sort through the material that's brought down.
You said the 18th, that's a Friday?
Uh-huh.
All righty. Could they come on a Thursday at all?
They could drop off materials on Thursday.
Okay. And then sorting on Friday and maybe a little bit on Saturday morning?
You got it.
Okay. And then you're going to distribute it what time Saturday?
From noon to 5.
Okay. All right. And the address is 1330 East Linwood, Kansas City, Missouri. And you will be there.
I will be there, and if people would like to find out more, they can go to our website at www.copinc.com, which is C-O-P-P-I-N-C.com. or they can call me at area code 816-920-6119.
Mm.
Again, area code 816-920-6119.
One more time.
Area code 816-920-6119 if they'd like to come down and help.
All righty. Richard, we thank you very much.
Well, thank you, sir.
All right. Take care. And we're going to go to Mark. Mark, you've got religion on the line.
Hello. Hi. Yeah, this is Mark Swinney.
Mark, and I think we were alerted that you're calling about spirituality and eternal life. Is that right?
I am, yeah. I am from New Mexico, but I'm visiting here in Kansas City today. We're going to be putting on a lecture at 2 o'clock over in Gladstone at the Gladstone Community Center.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a discussion of, really, it's a question. It's about eternal life. Could it be that God did not intend you to age? And I know that's a pretty audacious question, but it's something that, once a year, this organization, the Christian Science Church, puts on a lecture like this. And I think probably some of your listeners are familiar with the Christian Science Sentinel radio program. It comes on at 8:30
mm-hmm.
on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today we're going to be looking at aging. And I know that, you know, I think probably for most people, aging is related to maybe a physiological thing or a genetic thing. We're going to be looking at it from the perspective of spirituality. And to understand, to look at our origin, not so much in matter, but our origin in God and what that means in regards to our identity and ultimately aging.
Mm-hmm.
So are you going to be talking about how our spirits are different than our bodies in reference to aging?
Well, yeah. You know, in Genesis, a good example, I know that that it begins with Genesis where we've got God as spirit creating us in his likeness, in his image. And then just a chapter later, we've got God kind of described as a superhuman Zeus-type character who is creating people out of dust. And those two conflicting things, actually, it's helpful to have Genesis set up that way for me, I tell you, because once I know how God truly creates, you know, in his image, it means we're spiritual. It means we're literally created spiritually. And the second account of creation helps me to understand really kind of the mistaken views I might accept about that. So that
did you say the mistaken views? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I would call that because you can't really be two things at once. Can you be the likeness of God and also be made of dust? You know, one of the two. Now,
I trust you would accept the notion that there are some other traditions that don't interpret those texts that way.
Not.
Yeah, Mark, say it again, just one more time.
Okay.
Real quick.
I know that there are certainly a lot of different traditions and different views, and that book of Genesis has been looked at over the centuries, certainly. But this idea of God as spirit, as the Bible describes it, you know, life produces life. And so a God who is spirit would create us, as the Bible says, in his likeness, in his image. And, you know, that could mean that we're spiritual. And that is a very helpful thing in relation to really thinking of yourself as a spiritual being here or now, not something you die into, but actually looking at it today, here and now.
Okay. We thank you for your call. And the occasion is at what time again?
It's at 2 o'clock today. It's at the Gladstone Community Center, 6901 North Holmes.
In Gladstone. Okay. Thank you for your call, Mark.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. We're going to take a break, pay some bills. We'll be right back after these messages here at Religion on the Line, 576-7710.
KCMO Morning Show with Greg Knapp.
When you get socialized medicine, you have to ration care because you run out of money.
Well, we ration care right now, too.
You're right. There always is some kind of rationing of care to some degree. The point is, do you want the government in charge of that, or would you like to be in charge of that with your doctor? That's the difference to me.
Don't miss out. Listen to the KCMO Morning Show with Greg Knapp. Weekday mornings from 5 till 9 on KCMO Talk Radio 710. And now 103.7 FM.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pat O'Neill. Families of Chinese passengers lost aboard the Malaysian Airlines jet are demanding answers. For one thing, they say there's not enough evidence to conclude everyone was killed.
They want the Malaysian government to release any new data they get immediately rather than stalling on it, because they think that in the past that has slowed down the search and rescue operation. And finally, they want to meet representatives from Boeing, from Rolls-Royce, and from that British satellite company Inmarsat, which has done so much to try and calculate where it was that the plane went down.
Sky News' Alistair Bunkle in Kuala Lumpur. At the NCAA basketball tournament, some Arizona fans getting rowdy in the streets after their team lost to Wisconsin. Ethan McSweeney of the student paper The Arizona Daily Wildcat says police countered with pepper spray.
They were shooting at students and fans, and they were taking deliberate aim.
Wisconsin won by a point in overtime. Florida, meanwhile, topped Dayton, also reaching the Final Four. Fox News, we report, you decide.
The KCMO forecast from KCTV 5.
Mostly sunny, windy, and warm today with a high in the mid-70s. A wind advisory has been posted this afternoon. Winds are forecast to gust over 30 miles an hour out of the south today. Showers and thunderstorms return to the forecast overnight tonight. We have a 30% chance for scattered thunderstorms on Monday with a high in the low 70s. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Tom Walks.
Hey folks, Dave Ramsey here. For many years, I've been recommending the amazing folks at Mr. Remodeler for all your remodeling needs. The reason? They care about my listeners. Unlike the other companies that will say anything for the sale, Mr. Remodeler truly cares about your needs, and they are completely dedicated to customer satisfaction. That's why they won't pressure you into making a quick decision or ask you to pay for a job before it's finished. During the project, they'll keep you updated on the timeline, and they'll make sure every detail is being handled with care. They also provide you with copies of workman's comp, liability insurance, and a written warranty. Folks, I trust Mr. Remodeler. They've been serving your area since 1969. So for all remodeling needs, choose Mr. Remodeler. In Kansas, call 362-7166. In Missouri, 453-3049. Or online at MrRemodeler.com. And don't forget to tell them Dave sent you.
When you were a little kid and you thought about what you wanted to be, teaching was at the top of your list. But things changed. And as you got older, teaching didn't seem like the best option anymore. So you're thinking you'll be something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Now you want to be a doctor. You don't think teachers save lives? 25 at a time. An actress? Try playing a different role every time the bell rings. How about a scientist? Ever heard of physics? Chemistry? Who do you think teaches that? Teachers today are breaking down obstacles, finding innovative ways to instill old lessons, and taking learning far beyond the four walls of the classroom. It's time to recognize that great things are happening in teaching and put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Kansas City's talk station. Kansas City's talk station. Making it even easier to listen. KCMO Talk Radio 710. And now at 103.7 FM.
Good morning. You've got religion on the line here at KCMO Radio 710 on your AM radio dial. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
John Perk, President, St. Michael Archangel High School, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And Michael, we are coming. This is our last half hour, so mm-hmm. we would want people to call in and talk about this and that and the other. One of the things that I've seen on our most recent news flashes about the issue of homosexuality, which has dominated many times our conversation here, is the fact that Presbyterian churches and Episcopal churches are quite in a conundrum right now as they deal with property issues. When a congregation will vote, as Menlo Park Presbyterian Church under the leadership of John Ortberg did, voted to leave the PCUSA and join something called ECHO or ECO, covenant churches from the Presbyterian tradition, about 150 congregations. These are almost all larger, or many of them are larger, that's not all, but many of them are larger and also very conservative in their politics as well as their theology, and they're choosing to leave. But if you're Presbyterian or Episcopalian, the diocese or the presbytery owns the property. The conference, if you're a Methodist, the diocese, if you're Catholic, if you're lucky enough to be a free agent like disciples, then the congregation owns the property.
Or the bank owns the property.
Or the bank owns the property if you have a mortgage. So there's, or it has a lien on it. Those are things that that are real life, day by day, kind of intersections between things that are very, very secular, but also very, very importantly, religious. So just give us a call if you have a notion about all of that. Yes.
In that question, if I'm, as a matter of principle, deciding that our community needs to separate itself from our historic affiliation, wouldn't the normative, appropriate, moral thing be that I now need to move out of the property that that organization is the custodian owner of?
I think John Ortberg, in fact, addressed that and said it might cost them $8.5 million to take the property with them if they could come to some kind of agreement. Mm-hmm. And a presbytery probably would like to have that take place because you don't want a congregation of 3,000 people leaving, and you've got a husk of a building to maintain or to do something with. So some negotiations are going to be in order. But the courts, including the Supreme Court and the appeals courts in Virginia, for example, are normally siding with the traditional perspective, meaning if you've been a place, a congregation that's part of a
A larger
community holding the property. Mm-hmm. If that's your practice down through the centuries, you just can't all of a sudden say, oh, it doesn't apply to us now. No, the diocese, the presbytery, the conference, they have the prerogative and they have ownership. That's what the courts seem to be deciding right now. And so we'll have to see. We had a number of calls and they just evaporated. I don't know whether it's we're not coming up to a break. Here's
what
David.
About Charles' email question, John? Do you have it there?
We're going to take David first, and then we'll go to Charles, okay? All right, David, you've got religion on the line.
Well, morning all from San Francisco. Greetings.
All right.
Hey, you know, I was listening.
How's the earthquake out there, by the way?
You know, that's how, you know, like they say with your martinis, shaken, not stirred. So that's where that comes from. You know, I didn't feel it myself. I think that was about 400 miles away. So
I think it was mostly in L.A., John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I was going to say the idea of taxpayers paying for some religion's research. You know, if say, for example, the military decided to make a radar project to discover whether or not the Earth is really on the back of Atlas, or if it's on the back of a turtle, you know, I mean, that the taxpayer would be paying for a research project like that, that might, you know, if we want to discover life in outer space and it's infinite, then does that require an infinite budget to go for someone's research project? So the idea that unprovable budgets, you know, it's bad enough that we're just generating electricity and destroying God's green earth, but that if we're destroying God's green earth on some unprovable budget, and so it's one thing to be looking for a positive, okay, we can find God on the back of a turtle, or if we're just terrified, we've got religions fighting each other.
Is that a research project, finding the earth on the back of a turtle?
well, that would at least be a positive. But a negative is if the paranoia of religions have them going into eternal, you know, 100 years war between Christians and Muslims.
I'm getting very confused in the logic here. Is there a specific project that you think is being funded that shouldn't be because of a religious connotation?
Well, sure. I mean, the
so what is it?
The whole
jihad
angle. You know,
you're talking
the
about
use of the word jihad has now justified a military budget for 14 years.
Okay, so that wasn't an organized religious. That was a kind of quasi religiously fervent, super patriotic. Kind of a dominating motif in our culture. What?
WMD was a lie. It's known now that it was a lie.
Yeah,
they've researched it.
So what do you want us to do right now?
Well, we got to back down the paranoia, that's for sure.
Okay.
Okay.
But unprovable budgets is the next angle of it. And the idea that the NSA is going to spy on every thought and every belief for the next eternity, that's an unprovable budget based on paranoia.
I don't think you mean it's an unsustainable, don't you?
Well, it's also unsustainable, but it's an unprovable budget.
Okay,
and
we're not
whose version of paranoia and whose version of you know, the morals police.
So I guess now we're getting at what you're saying, and we receive it. Unprovable budget. Doesn't make sense to me. I think that's may make sense to John and Mike.
Look at it as a taxpayer. I mean, if someone were to say, we want to put together a radar project that can find out if we're really on the back of Atlas. You know, Atlas carries
okay.
the Earth on his
all
shoulder.
All right, all right.
The Roman gods or the Greek
okay,
gods.
Okay, well, I guess it's good to hear from you in San Francisco.
Sure.
We're glad you're safe,
yeah.
And we appreciate your making your point.
Sure, appreciate it.
All right. 576-7710, 576-7710 is the number to call. John, I had a question about the high school. You said it's St. Michael's.
St. Michael the Archangel.
The Archangel. Will there be a provision for, you said its intent is to evangelize, and that means, I guess, increase the Catholic population and increase the values that the Catholic community believes and promotes.
No. I just said that it's a new. This is my kind of my little moniker, a new school for the new evangelization that was called forth by the three last popes, and the new evangelization is for Catholics to have a living encounter with Jesus Christ.
Okay. What I'm thinking is, if you're not Catholic and you go to the school, how will they experience their... They'll get an excellent education, I'm presuming, in terms of the content,
right.
But how will they... They will miss out on that by their own choice. Will there be the freedom to opt out of that?
No. If you come to a Catholic school, then... you're saying that I'm going to participate in all the activities. Now, you don't have to, for instance, believe everything that the church teaches because you're not a Catholic. But there is, if a non-Catholic wants to attend the school...
They'll still have to go to certain classes that will be prescribed.
Right, yeah.
I guess that was more... you've answered the question.
Character formation is what the school is about.
Yeah. I think that there will be Protestants and Jews who might want their children to have that kind of instruction, but will also kind of opt out of, say, communion or worship in a certain way.
Yeah, we would expect them to opt out on communion because they don't believe what we believe on that issue.
We're going to go to Geraldine. Okay. We've got Geraldine. You're calling long distance. Good morning.
Good morning. Could I ask about Lent? It seemed like it used to be just the Catholic churches, and now it's...
Yeah, why should they have all the fun? Okay.
well, why does the Mardi Gras figure in just before Lent? I can't see...
That's a great, great question.
And then also... There are seven deadly sins listed, and how do you preach in a church when when everybody's doing everything.
Well, that's when the preaching is really needed.
When everybody's dead, is that what you're saying?
No. When they're all sinning. Well, that's when the preaching is really needed, don't you think, Geraldine?
Well, yes, but how can you preach against this or that when everything's going on in this nation and they're not abiding by 2 Chronicles 7:14, I believe it is.
Okay. We're going to look that up. Can you hold on just a minute?
Yes, sir.
Okay, hold on, and we're going to take a break, pay some bills, and we will respond to Geraldine's question. Give us a call, 576-7710.
KCMO Talk Radio is Mark Levin.
We're a nation with over $100 trillion in unfunded liabilities. We are a nation destroying itself. We are a nation committing suicide. What a bunch of self-defeating morons. That there are an awful lot of stupid people posing as commentators on cable TV. All this fence-sitting, I can't stand that either. Country's going to hell and we have all these fence-sitters.
Weekdays 5 to 8 on KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $23 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-916-5635. That's 1-800-916-5635. 1-800-916-5635. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Today might be the day I drop out of school. Today could be the last day I try. My parents alone can't stop me. My friends can't even stop me. But you might be able to. With United Way, you could tutor me, be my mentor, or volunteer to just read with me. If someone had helped me earlier, I might not be struggling. And studies prove that kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. There are tons of ways people like you can help kids like me stay in school. And United Way is calling for you to be one of them. Because it takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between me becoming one or the other could be you. Make me a success, not a statistic.
Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Everybody knows the UNCF motto, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. But a change last year in the federal Parent PLUS loan program is putting hundreds of thousands of our best young minds at risk, putting college out of reach financially. It's an emergency. 14,000 rising UNCF sophomores and juniors, even graduating seniors, priced out of re-enrolling for the academic year. They need a college education, and we need them to get one. They are our next generation of teachers, scientists, doctors and nurses, and community leaders. This is Michael Lomax, President and CEO of UNCF, the United Negro College Fund, and its campaign for emergency student aid. These students look to UNCF for the support they need to finish their education. And UNCF looks to you. So go to uncf.org, click on the Campaign for Emergency Student Aid box, and help us help them go to and through college. Because a mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in.
Are you one of the 100 million Americans living with pain? Joint pain, muscle aches, back pain? Would you like an all-natural pain reliever that works in just 1 hour? Well, it's finally here. It's called 1 Hour Pain Relief. It's made from hops, the same plant used to flavor beer. It goes to work fast without dangerous side effects. I'm Barry Yarkoni, company president. I had lingering pain from a nasty fall, but was scared of the side effects of drugs. Now I get relief in just 1 hour that lasts for the whole day. We're so sure you'll love 1 Hour Pain Relief, too, that we'll send you a 1 week trial for just a small shipping charge. Call 800-500-1062 right now. Or visit onehourpainrelief.com. There's no gimmicks, no obligation, no automatic shipments. Stop living with pain call 800-300-1062 or visit onehourpainrelief.com. That's 800-300-1062 or onehourpainrelief.com.
Greg Knapp. Coming up Monday on the show, you ready to spend millions to make Wyandotte County a healthier community? Exactly how? Not sure. And one state looking to rename the Asian carp? Wait till you hear why. KCMO Morning Show.
Good morning. You've got religion on the line here at KCMO Radio 710 on your AM radio dial. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
John Perk, President of St. Michael Archangel High School, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And we are here and glad to take your calls in this last segment. Sports fans, we had a bunch of calls going off and on. I don't know whether people were trying to get to their services this morning or their educational moments, but do call back if you want, 576-7710, and we'll be glad to take your calls. Michael, you will fly out today.
I'm going to be leaving as soon as we're done with this segment, although we still have Charles to address if we have the opportunity.
Yeah, let's do that.
Mm. But John, do you have the question there?
I don't have it up, but if you got it, go for it.
Fortunately, I think I can only recall it. It was something about the St. Louis the Ninth. Can you dig it out? Because I don't have access to a computer any longer. I packed it up.
Whether
the Catholic Church can decanonize a saint. Why don't we take the abstract principle? And they've done that, haven't they?
Well, I'm not sure if they've decanonized. But are you thinking of like St. Christopher?
What I was thinking of is a variety of responses some years ago when there was a determination that some of the early saints probably never existed, and they were removed from the list of saints. Am I fantasizing, or does that sound familiar at all?
Well, I think there maybe it lacked documentation, although it was passed down in tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they maybe they tried to assert those that had documentation. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about a 2,000-year.
Yes, of course.
Yeah,
but. And I know his question was about a king of France, one of the Louis, who Charles refers to some of the persecutions that were under his reign and attributed to him, whether he's in fact responsible, whatever the heck it means for a king to be responsible for any activities. They usually have ministers who act in strong ways. That said, the presumption I would imagine would be if someone has passed the test for canonization, that it would only be an extraordinary review that says, "Hey, wait a second! There was a fraud perpetrated here."
Right. Yeah.
Hey, sports fans, we're going to have to respond a little bit to Geraldine, who dropped off.
Oh,
yeah. Let's. Why is there Mardi Gras? Because the human being loves to party. That's number one. But also because it kind of heightens the sense of deprivation and repentance and privation, I think, that comes in the Lenten season in certain traditions. It would be best to probably plumb the heart and mind of somebody from New Orleans or Rio de Janeiro to say, how do you guys do carnival? How do you do Mardi Gras like that? Because in some ways, as I like to say frequently, life is meant to be celebrated and not merely tolerated.
And Mardi Gras also means Fat Tuesday.
Right.
It is burning off the fat and using it up before Lent begins.
Exactly. It's fat before the fast. You just take the S out there, okay?
But by the way, it would seem to me that historically, even without connections to particular communities of faith, there's a part of us that in the Northern Hemisphere that wants to anticipate spring. This has been a long winter.
And we have that in spades this year, I will tell you.
And revelry is not unlike a sympathetic magic. That we want life to return to the earth, and we show it what we mean.
Yeah.
However, there is clearly a boundary that some of the, what should we say, the ways in which people celebrate go beyond corporeality into vulgarity.
Yeah, and it becomes obscene or way over, extremely over the top. So,
and then after the 40 days of fast, at least for us Catholics, we sit down and we commemorate the first Mass, the breaking of the bread. Jesus was given bread after 40 days, and I just find it very symbolic that the Lent does end on Holy Thursday.
All right. Hey, we do have a caller. We're going to go to Mike. You've got religion on the line.
Yes, good morning. John, I wanted to congratulate you on the school project you're having in the city.
Mike, can you go a little louder?
Well, I can try.
Yeah, thank you.
Is this any better? Okay.
Yeah, that's better.
You know, we have all these Michaels. We have Mike from Kingsville. Michael Zedek. I named both of my sons after Michael in a way with a first and middle name. I named one after the greatest man who ever lived, John, the greatest angel who ever lived, Michael. I've had this
You know, I got to tell you guys, if I'd only had enough sense to trademark the name, I could be a wealthy man.
Melchizedek, Michael, Melchizedek. So go ahead, Mike.
Well, I just wanted to say that every week I see people that come from the urban area out there, and out here in a rural area, and there's a openness and a hunger to hearing something about the concept of moral absolutes, because the idea of moral relativism in a utopian secular city isn't working out real well for them up there. And the
they're not enunciating it like that or describing it to you like that, are they?
No, they're just open to hearing about the good news.
They're hungry.
They're hungry. Yeah,
this isn't all there is.
Yeah,
When we look around, that there's something more out there, and when
I show
them the book of through the Hubble telescope of the vast cosmos out there. There's not a single one that's ever thought we ought to have a research on finding God on the back of a turtle.
Okay, we've got to come to that. I do not know what this reference is.
Well,
I'm missing it.
There's an ancient tradition that the Earth swims, rests on the back of a turtle.
Oh, and this is a Native American a mythology, yeah.
Well, either that or San Francisco mythology, but
myths are roadmaps. They're not just falsehoods.
Okay, I think I find more intellectual stimulation by watching Cash Cab.
Okay.
Have a good. I mean, from that perspective. Anyway, but the idea that when we decided that we needed to take the concept of moral absolutes and the Ten Commandments down off the schoolrooms and the classrooms, I don't think that's worked out
well. Well, you know, that's...
If you want the Ten Commandments in prayer, come to St. Michael the Archangel.
Well, the other thing is, whether it's on the wall is not as important as whether it's in our hearts and in the moral fabric of what we do day by day.
And we all agree on that one.
Well, you're gone? I guess Mike's gone.
Yeah. But by the way, I'm fascinated that Mike considers Kingsville to be, in effect, a secular monastery in which people can retreat from the world. I suspect, as Mike has told us more than once, the world does impact up there.
Yeah, I think that he was critiquing the urban area and those who have a kind of utopian view of the effects of non-religion.
Yeah. He reminds me of a story. It's told in a long ago issue of the Sunday New York Times magazine of a young woman from Tel Aviv who went to B'nai Brak, which is an ultra-Orthodox enclave in Israel. Mm. And her comment was not unlike what Mike suggested, namely, there is chaos, here is order. But that's eternal challenge between freedom and authority and authoritarianism. And every place is a slippery slope, isn't it, guys?
Absolutely. Before I forget, speaking of Mardi Gras and also moral absolutes or whatever, this afternoon at 4 o'clock, we're going to have a big band boogie bash at Community Christian Church. Tickets
and that's an absolute?
That's an absolute. They're $15 at the ticket. Tickets are $15 at the door, $10 in advance. But we're going to have the Heston College Choir with us this morning at our 10:45 service. Very grateful
all right, I give
for
up.
This
Where
Mennonite
is
group.
College?
North of Wichita, 30 miles, Mennonite College. I'm Reverend Robert Lee, Hillel Community Christian Church, along with
John Perk, President St. Michael Archangel High School, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus Temple Ben Yehudin. While we all can say, go St. Michael's, we can also say,
God bless.